Thank you for listening to the New Hope Christian Church podcast for the weekend of October 1st, 2023. Please go to our website, newhopechristianchurch.net, for resources, events, and information about the church. This week's sermon is titled Core Values, Healthy Families, by lead pastor Kerry Yeck.
Don't forget your anniversary is this week, right? I know you said that, but if you're like me, you forget it 10 seconds later sometimes. In 1964, the number of babies born outside of marriage in America was somewhere between 3 to 5%. That's less than 1 in 20 babies. Data from 2018 now indicates that 4 out of every 10 babies in the United States are born outside of the context of a mother and father committed to each other in marriage. That's 40%. As Democrats and Republicans have continued their combat in Congress over the national debt and who in the world is responsible for it, you are. It's just an ongoing thing. An economic expert named Robert Samuelson writes in the Washington Post and says that our biggest problem in America, this is an economic expert, he says our biggest problem in America is not the budget deficit, but the family deficit. Quote, he says, "We've learned that what good families provide cannot easily be gotten elsewhere. For our nation, this is the deficit that matters most." William Bennett was the Secretary of Education under President Ronald Reagan. And he wrote an article that appeared recently in the New York Times, and he said, and I quote, "I am the product of divorce and several stepfathers. The family is the nucleus of civilization and the basic social unit of society. For a civilization to succeed, the family must succeed. And right now in America, it's not." Unfortunately, our secular society stumbles all over itself, blaming economic inequalities, cultural biases, white privilege, and so much more for the problems in America's families, rather than searching for spiritual solutions that can make the family strong again. So as we conclude this sermon series on core values at New Hope Christian Church, we have thus far examined the importance of biblical authority at New Hope, our belief that hope is found only in Jesus Christ, the necessity for spiritual growth, as Ben talked about last week, in all believers. And the last value of the four, core value, is healthy families. Would you have that hopefully written there on your sheets. Would you read it out loud with me? "Because God established the family as the foundation for society, we nurture Christ-centered families." I think one of the misconceptions amongst the unchurched is that every family at church either already is or thinks of it themselves as a perfect family. Well, we know that's not true. But I remember being on the outside looking in thinking, oh boy, they've all got their act together. Well, once you get inside the church, you realize, man, we don't all have our act together. So our goal here is not to build perfect families here on earth, but healthy families. So how can we go about doing that? How can we at New Hope turn that tide? I want to first establish, and if you have your outlines, we can begin filling these out. I want to first establish what God's desire is for society, what God's blueprint is for society. HuffPost, which used to be known as the Huffington Post, presents news from a secular and a humanistic perspective, all right? I don't know if you've ever read any of their stuff. It's not typically from a Christian worldview. So it was interesting to find an article on the HuffPost website in which the author acknowledged that the family unit was a necessary part of society. That the family, it said, this author said, is a primary place for human beings to fill our need to belong. And when I read that, it raised a question for me. If humans are nothing more than an evolutionary animal, why would we need to belong? But if God indeed created human beings as rational, feeling souls, then it's understandable why it is not good for any human to be alone. And it makes sense that God created marriage. It makes sense that God created the family with a mom and a dad and children. The family is to be a safe place where people can form close relationships with other people. And that's why the psalmist wrote, children are a gift from the Lord. They are a reward from Him. Most of the time, right? You know what I'm saying. It's no accident. This is crazy that God set an example for us by placing His divine Son in a human family with a human father and a human mother to provide and protect His Son. Did you catch that? I'm going to repeat it. God entrusted a married human husband and wife team to oversee the baby God's transformation into a toddler God, the toddler God's transformation into a teenage God, and the teenage God's transformation into an adult human God. And why did God do that? Did He need our help? Did He need our assistance? Of course not. God was establishing the divine role and the divine purpose for the human family. Now, I don't know if you have your Bibles, turn with me to Luke chapter 2, verse 51. It's fascinating concerning Jesus' growing up years as a teenager in Nazareth. Now, understand, the 12-year-old Jesus, am I right? Is that about seventh grade? 12-year-old Jesus has confounded and mesmerized the religious teachers at the temple in Jerusalem, and yet, we get to Luke 2 and verse 51, the Son of God willingly obeyed His parents during His teenage years. Because God places such a high value on human dignity and worth of every human being, God wanted every human child raised within this divinely ordained and divinely empowered social unit. The family support system would be important not just while kids are growing up, but also through the rest of our lives. As adults, the family should still be where genuine, close relationships exist amongst brothers and sisters and their in-laws and uncles and aunts and cousins and grandpas and grandmas and grandparents, etc., etc. Jane and I were blessed this last week to spend several days with her two brothers and two sisters and their spouses. It was a great time. And I know that their parents, Merle and Donna, would be blessed knowing and seeing how their children are able to interact and get along, knowing the impact their children are having on His kingdom today. And as an adult who's getting older, I'm eagerly looking forward to spending a few days with my sister, Christy. And I know she's watching, so hey, see you in a couple of weeks, right? God created the family unit as a means of protecting His children physically, socially, spiritually, as they move, just like Jesus did, from babies to toddlers, from toddlers to adolescents, from adolescents to teenagers, and ultimately from teenagers to adults. The family would be where we humans would first learn about God, where we would distinguish right behavior from wrong behavior. Honestly, as I look, the family is where we guys, I think, we learn responsibility. We even learn tenderness, things that don't come necessarily naturally to us. The family is where women develop their nurturing skills, and then they pass these on with their amazing influence on so many others. The family is where children learn to interact with other people. The family is where children learn how to be moms and dads as they watch and they follow the example of their parents. The family is where kids receive so much of their education, develop life skills, oftentimes even learn a vocation. The family is the structure God uses to pass God's values from one generation to the next, generation after generation after generation. It hasn't changed. The family is God's idea. God created the family. God sustains the family. God protects and provides for that family that is centered on Him. And God brought the family into existence a long time before He created the institution of government. God blessed the family centuries before He ever brought the Church of Jesus Christ into existence. The family is God's ordained building block for every culture, every society. Now, having established that truth, what is the current state of the family? When I had cancer back in 1986, my oncologist prescribed a total of 8-week-long treatments of chemotherapy, even though after the first week, he said 99% of that 3-pound tumor had been eradicated. Now, that doesn't add up mathematically to me. If 99% was eradicated in the first treatment, why have 7 more? Are you following with me? And he said that's because those next 7 are kind of a mop-up to the first week's results. Even if one cancer cell survives the chemo, it will reproduce and grow and multiply quickly. Cultural experts have compared the family units that make up an entire society to the individual cells that make up our human body. The more of our individual cells that may be undernourished or even cancerous, the more an entire body will suffer and break down. Therefore, as individual families suffer through sin and the effects of sin, so then will the culture they are in and the society they are in, so it will be impacted negatively as well. And we're seeing this breakdown of society's foundational cornerstone on many fronts. And we don't have time to get into all of them or really dig way deep. But let me just kind of touch on a few here. One is the deluge of technology. Don't get me wrong, technology is good. But have you ever looked, next time you go to a restaurant, watch families and see what's happening. And whether they're interacting with each other or they're all glued to their phones. Again, I understand there's positive things to this, and technology has been uber helpful in a lot of ways, but video games and TikTok or Snapchat or Facebook or whatever can be a distraction, preventing us from really communicating, doing things of substance together with each other. On another front, the educational front, the National School Board Association, I don't know if you remember this, but in September of 2021, the National School Board Association likened parents who were speaking out at school board meetings to domestic terrorism. As a result, the United States Department of Justice literally enlisted the help of the FBI to call on parents who had spoken out at school board meetings. One such individual was Kendra Evans, who appeared before the Clark County School District in the state of Nevada, which is our nation's fifth largest public school district. So as she's standing there before the school board, she is reading to the school board the pornography her 15-year-old daughter was told to memorize and portray before her classmates as an assignment. And her mic was cut off. And she rightly questioned, why is this not proper language for adults to hear at a public meeting, but it's okay to assign a 15-year-old in a class to memorize and portray? It's a good question. By definition, our current head of the United States Department of Education would consider her, I don't know if you saw this in the last few days, would consider Kendra to be a misinformed parent. On the spiritual front, as fewer people are, in general, are attending worship services and studying the Bible less, fewer children are receiving any kind of spiritual training. And frankly, many, I'm not saying all, but many times we as parents entrust the biblical formation or education of our children to the church. And we have to be the first place for that. Our society has become like Israel during the time of the judges. In those days, we read, Israel had no king. Everyone did what was right in their own eyes. Everyone did what seemed right to them. Jesus was very clear when he said, anyone who hears my teaching and doesn't obey it is like a foolish person building their house on sand. And when the rain and the winds came and beat against that house, it will collapse because it has a weak foundation. As the psalmist asked, when the foundations are being destroyed, what can the righteous do? We believe God is the answer to every question. The Bible shares with us the solution to every problem. If we as parents don't plant seeds of faith in our children's lives, not only will weeds take over their lives, but those weeds will also overrun our society. We have a responsibility. We have a responsibility as a church to encourage and aid parents in that formation of spiritual truth. James Dobson has long been an advocate for the family, a coach for parents who want to build strong families. He has written, and I quote, "No human society, ancient or modern, has ever sustained itself by embracing a model that deviates from God's design. Extensive research confirms that children need a mother and a father. It is folly to suggest that two fathers or two mothers can ever meet a child's needs in the same way a mother and father can. America's children will continue to suffer so long as our egotistical society attempts to redefine an institution that has remained constant since the creation of the world." In other words, if we want to help build healthy families, we've got our work cut out for us. But there's hope. There's always hope in Jesus, isn't there? First thing I think we need to do, and maybe this just sounds, I don't know, maybe it sounds too simple, but you know the reality is we got to pray. I pray for spiritual revival in my family, in me. Prayed that this morning as we're coming in. Lord, ignite a fire within me that hopefully will ignite in others. Ignite a fire in my family. Bring about a spiritual revival in our congregation, in our church, in this state, in our nation, around the world. History has shown us that spiritual revivals all began with prayer. And since Philippians 2 and verse 13 tells us that God is working in you, listen now, giving you both the desire and the power to do what pleases Him, I pray that God would place the desire in some of my family members. Put that desire in them, God, to seek after You. Place that desire in us as the body of Christ here at New Hope. Place that desire in people throughout our country to follow You. We need to pray for our elders, for our church leaders, for our family members. Jesus encouraged His disciples to pray and never give up praying. The Apostle Paul encouraged the people that he was writing to, never stop praying. In the words of a song that we have oftentimes sung, faith believes that even when we don't see Him, God is working. Even when we don't feel Him, God is working. And it's not enough to say, hey, we need to pray. We need to pray. Whether that's before a meal, whether it's after a conversation that we have here amongst ourselves, whether it's at home, when God lays it upon our heart to pray, we need to pray. And when we conclude our services with people at the prayer wall, understand, you got something going on. We got prayer warriors that are, who are ready to pray. All right. Secondly, we have to grow spiritually. It sounds really simple here, doesn't it? Is the Word of God living and powerful? You better believe it is. Does the Word of God often pierce its way into the very fabric of who we are and how we think? Yes, it does. Is there ever a time when the Word of God doesn't accomplish anything? No. No. Jesus was very clear when He said that students are not above or greater than their teacher. The student who is fully trained will become like the teacher. We cannot impart to others what we ourselves don't have, don't know. If my kids wanted to learn how to swim when they were grown up, I was the one to teach them. If they wanted to learn how to bake or cook, Jane was the one to teach them. But when it comes to their spiritual formation, we are a team, praying for our kids, modeling for our kids, sharing the Word of God with our kids. We are a team that works together for the common good, raising spiritual warriors for Him. And that continues after they become adults and they have kids, doesn't it? And then when you get old enough, it continues when they have great-grandkids. And thirdly, we have to leverage our influence, our opportunities to impact not only our families for Christ, but other families as well. I mean, I know of families, 4, 5, 6 kids that all have separate fathers, and they don't know who they are. Kids who have a brother or sister in Mexico and a brother or sister in this state and a brother and sister in this place whose mother just left them. Kids who saw their mother beat up by a boyfriend. Our influence has to go outside of our own families. Before he passed from this life, Moses gathered the nation of Israel and he gave them these final instructions in the book of Deuteronomy. That's all of Deuteronomy is Moses speaking to them, and I'm just summarizing when I say, here are the truths that God commanded me to teach you, and it is now your responsibility to teach them to your children and to others. Furthermore, you need to share with your children and your grandchildren and anyone else who will listen all the mighty ways that God has worked in your life. You see, your kids didn't see the miraculous signs and wonders that God performed in Egypt. Your kids didn't see God part the Red Sea. So you need to share with your kids what you have seen God do. And that principle can still apply for us today. We all have seen God do some amazing, marvelous things in our lives, and we need to share those, not just with our kids, but we need to tell others about them as well. Why? Because every one of us has a sphere of influence, whether we realize it or not. Every one of us has people who listen to us, who admire us. Joshua was a leader not just of an army. Joshua was the leader of a family. He was a husband. And Joshua says, "As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. I'm taking responsibility for my family here. We're all on board for this thing." Cornelius in the New Testament was a devout, God-fearing man who was employed as a Roman army officer. He gave generously to the poor. He prayed regularly to God. And when God told Cornelius to leverage that influence, Cornelius gathered all of his family, all of the servants in his household, and anyone else who would listen to come and hear what Peter had to say about Jesus Christ. I don't know about some of you, but man, when I look back, if I could do this all over again, there'd be some things that I would start from a young age, getting my kids in the Bible on a regular basis. Instead of waiting until they're older when they're adults. And you know as well as I do, one of the things as Christian parents is getting our kids so that they have other believers that they can grow up with, be friends with. As iron sharpens iron, so one man, one person sharpens another. If we indeed become like those who surround ourselves with, which is exactly what Scripture says, then we as believers, including our kids, need to be surrounded by other believers. I don't know how many of you are familiar with the family leader. Both Greg Baker and Bob Vanderplatz have been here preaching it at times in the past at New Hope. That ministry is doing phenomenal things across the state of Iowa. It is crazy recruiting Christian people to be foster parents. Started a program called Together for Good, in which they're trying to get Christian people who are recruited to interact and be an intermediary before kids even get to the foster care system, partnering with the Health and Human Services. They're going to send me a list of the social workers in Marshall County that we can pray for, that we can develop relationships with, partnering pastors who are spiritual shepherds with government, with legislators, because they're government shepherds. Partnering with government in our state to attack the problems of gambling and pornography and drug addictions. It's just crazy what we can do. And at New Hope, we have some dynamic kids ministries, student ministries, volunteers who combine their love of the Lord with their love of people to help. And you have on your handout a list, it's probably even just a partial list, of some of the people who volunteer. Oh, there's so much we can do. Pray for those people in our neighborhoods. Make it a point to interact with those neighbors and kids.